I've got a little message I want to share with you at this point. I actually have two sermons today, the short one and the longer one. You know, I was just thinking about this. This is the first time in 35 years that I've been able to, unlike Jesus, sleep in on Easter Sunday. So people will ask me, why aren't you doing a special Easter sermon? Years ago, I used to do that, but I got away from that many years ago as well. It's certainly a story worth repeating, and I want to explain to you kind of my philosophy. But first of all, I want to give you sort of a little quiz. I want you to remember these four facts or locations. Number one, write them down in your mind or on paper. Number one, Green Dome, Medina, Saudi Arabia. Green Dome, Medina, Saudi Arabia. Number two, Gongqi Village, Jingshuan County, China. No, a virus did not come from there, just so you know. Gongqi Village, Jingshuan County, China. And if you actually speak Chinese and I'm totally butchering this, I apologize. Number three, Kutu in Shandong Province, China. Kutu, Shandong Province, China. And finally, number four, Nauvoo, Illinois. Got all those? Green Dome, Medina, Saudi Arabia, Gongqi Village, China, Kutu, Shandong Province, China, and Nauvoo, Illinois. That'll all make sense when I get to the end of this short message here. Listen, the story of the resurrection is the event that separates Christianity from all other world religions and philosophies. You can find, thanks to the World Wide Web, skeptics who assert that the resurrection of Jesus was simply a repackaging of previous pagan myths. You've probably heard that before, read that before. You'll see names like Dionysus and Osiris and Horus and Mithras. And for the modern skeptic, since it's on the internet, it must be true, and that's enough for them. You know, something I've observed is the modern skeptic, for the most part, and I've talked to a lot of them, the modern skeptic is at best intellectually lazy. You see, I've read those other stories. I've read about Mithras and Dionysus and Osiris and Horus. And I just want you to know, the stories are nothing at all similar, not even close to what we read in the New Testament when it comes to Jesus and the resurrection. In fact, I would challenge you to read them as well if you've been led to believe that they're anything like the resurrection of Jesus. They most definitely are not. Mithras, Horus, and the rest, they are clearly myths. I don't say they're myths simply because I choose not to believe them, but the reality is nobody's ever believed them. Even when the stories were originally told, nobody believed them. They knew they were myths when they were first developed in the ancient days. Myths share several distinctive features. They have fantastic narratives, anthropomorphic nature, you know, the trees talk and things like that, and all of the animals. They're not tied to any actual persons, places, or dates in history. They have overly heroic characters, kind of like Dwayne Johnson, but more than that. You compare the resurrection of Jesus, if it were mythological, it would be a very different story. But instead with Jesus, what we have is an historical narrative told by eyewitnesses, with nothing to gain, in fact, everything to lose, and most of them did lose everything. So, as I was preparing this portion, this short message, I thought, you know, I could look up a bunch of stuff on proofs for the resurrection, but I thought, you know what? This is stuff we need to know. We should know this stuff. And so the stuff I've studied for years, instead of doing reference work, I realized, you know, I know this. I want you to know it as well. How do we know that the resurrection story of Jesus is actually true? There are five things I want to point out very quickly. Number one, we have the testimony of reliable eyewitnesses. The New Testament has demonstrated itself over and over again to be a reliable historical document. In the 19th century, it was popular to question the historicity of the New Testament. When you see people questioning the historical accuracy of the New Testament, they are typically using 19th century arguments. I'm surprised when I read books by Dawkins and Harris and so on that they're just saying the same stuff that people said 150 years ago. The truth is the New Testament has proven itself to be reliable. In fact, I want to share with you one story. I love this. This is so cool. In Acts chapter 17, it's just a casual, there's a word that's used there. It's just a casual word, really. But Luke used a word to refer to the city officials at Thessalonica. And critics of the Bible in the 19th century said, that word doesn't even exist. That's not the right word to use there. You know what? I've been to Thessalonica. And since the 19th century, you know what we've discovered? There was one word that was only used in Thessalonica. Polytarchus. Luke chose to use the right word in the right place at the right time. The historians, the theologians, the philosophers, they were all wrong. Luke was right. The New Testament is reliable eyewitness testimony. But why else do we know that the resurrection is true? How about changed lives? We see two aspects of changed lives, maybe three. First is the apostles themselves. These were men and women who were associated with them, who were in hiding, fearful for their lives. But shortly after the events surrounding the crucifixion, they become bold proclaimers of the message of Jesus in public, many times being arrested, imprisoned, sometimes even martyred. Likewise, throughout history, we've seen lives that have been changed by the power of the gospel. Maybe you have experienced what we call deliverance. Maybe you've known somebody who was an addict of drugs or alcohol or just a horrible human being. And their encounter with Jesus wasn't just a new philosophy of life for them. It was a transformative event. They experienced God's grace and forgiveness and transformation. Dead saviors don't change lives. Third, there are extra-biblical sources. Historians like Suetonius, Tacitus, Eusebius, and Josephus. These are witnesses of the witnesses. They weren't eyewitnesses of the facts, but they were eyewitnesses of the Christians and the early Christians, and they reported exactly what Christians had been saying. All of the contemporaries agree that Jesus died and was placed in the tomb. And that brings us to our next proof of the resurrection, and that is an empty tomb. We've also had the privilege, Kim and I, of visiting the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is believed to be the actual tomb of Jesus. And there's really good archaeological evidence for that because Helena, not just a city in Montana, it's the mother of Constantine, was the one who did the research in the 4th century and discovered the burial spot of Jesus. And that's what's marked there. In fact, they did excavations there 2 years ago because there was clearly it had been refinished. And they wanted to date that. And when they moved that stone that had been refinished, they found that the dust underneath, which would have shown its most recent time that anybody had been in there, dated to the 4th century, right back to Helena, right back to that time. The tomb was empty. There's only really three possible explanations for an empty tomb. One is that somebody stole the body. That just really, honestly, I'm not even going to give it time. It doesn't make sense. Number two is that Jesus didn't actually die. That's even worse. We understand what Jesus went through. If you saw the Passion of the Christ, it very graphically portrays what Jesus went through. It wasn't just that he was crucified. Up to the crucifixion, he was tortured. This is why he died before the other two thieves. He had been beaten and scourged and tortured horribly. He did not recover in the tomb. The only reasonable explanation of an empty tomb is a risen Savior. But I have one last proof that should not be taken lightly. And that is simply this. We're here today, wherever here might be. We as Christians are here today celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Modern skeptics grew up in a world where Christianity was prominent. But we should bear in mind that until the 4th century, until 325 AD, Christianity was illegal. The practice of Christianity was forbidden. Christians were tortured and executed and exiled. Being a Christian was not easy like it is in our country or most parts of the world. There are some parts where it isn't. That's the environment in which the church endured and grew and had its and existed against intense opposition. Why? One author put it this way. Someone might die for something they know that they know not to be true, or someone might die for something that they believe to be true that isn't true. But they wouldn't die for something that they know isn't true. Christians for centuries have died for what they know is true. I'm not sharing a special Easter message unless you count this today, because the truth is every Sunday Christians celebrate the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul put it this way, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain and our preaching is foolish. Because Jesus rose from the dead, his credentials are verified. He is the Son of God. That's what he said in John chapter 2. When challenged, what gives you the right, the authority to make these audacious claims? He said, well, kill me. Watch what happens. Second, because Jesus rose from the dead, his work is guaranteed. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Is that wishful thinking? No, it's absolute truth. Why? Because Jesus died for our sins but did not stay dead. And finally, number three, our message. Today, our message will be in 1 Peter chapter 3. Our message is certified because we're not just preaching a philosophy that's been developed over the ages. We're preaching the message of Jesus. Now, let's go back to the quiz we started with. You remember? Let me go over them again. Green Dome, Medina, Saudi Arabia. Gongchi Village, Jinshuan County, China. Kutu, Shandong Province, China. Nauvoo, Illinois. Anybody know what those all are? I didn't think you would. Somebody might. Okay. In the Green Dome, you know what's there? The body of Muhammad. Gongchi Village in China. What's there? The cremated remains of Buddha. Kutu, Shandong Province, China. What's there? Confucius is in the cemetery of Confucius. Nauvoo, Illinois. What's there? Joseph Smith. Just thought I'd throw that one in too. If you visit Jerusalem, you'll find an empty tomb. Because he is not there, he is risen.